What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the For the Good podcast.
We're so glad you're here.
Our mission is to reach the next generation by encouraging you using God's word.
We cover topics like Christian dating. God does not want someone to come to him because of a person.
Finding your godly spouse. That's how God works in relationships.
Mm-hmm. Following God's will for your life.
We think that we should be omniscient with God. And staying close to God when the world tempts you. Or it can be worshiping the right God in the wrong way. Romans 8:28 says,
"And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose."
This podcast is for God's good and to grow his kingdom.
Our prayer is that this ministry provides you with a healthy Christian community that you can be a part of.
Thank you guys for tuning in.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of the For the Good podcast.
Yep, we back, man.
Sorry it's been so long. Mm-hmm. We are officially moved into our house and actually have a dedicated room to film in. So it took us a while. We had a little issue with one of the mics breaking, so we had to order a new one. But feels good to be back and actually have a designated place to film these episodes for you guys. So if you're watching a video, you can see that we're in a plain room.
And also, it probably sounds a little bit better on Spotify and whatnot, because we have two new mics. We don't have broken mics.
Yeah.
But yeah, we were talking and we were like, maybe we should sit down and tell people what we've been going through and whatnot. But honestly, I don't think y'all really care. So we were like, why don't we talk about something? But yeah, we were moving. That's what happened. And moving is never something that goes according to plan. Mm-hmm. So we were like, yeah, we'll take 3 weeks off, and then 6 weeks happen, or however long it's been. And it's like, we're not going to rush getting back into this before our lives are together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because again, this is something that Michelle and I do on the side. We do it for fun. You know, this isn't our full-time job, income, mm-hmm. whatever. We get donations and we don't even get paid from YouTube. So,
yeah,
you know, this is completely out of, we just believe God wants us to do it. But, yeah, thank y'all for all the generous donations. Even when we weren't filming, some of y'all still donated, which was crazy. Mm-hmm. So thank y'all for the donations on Venmo. I don't know if our PayPal's down there, but Venmo, PayPal, whatever it may be.
PayPal.
Okay. Whatever it may be. Thank you guys. And also just thank you guys for just watching and supporting.
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
Yeah.
And make sure to go follow all the For the Good socials. We post clips on there, snippets about, you know, what we talked about in the latest episode. Thank you all for the support over there. We also do updates on there. Coaching still available. Michelle and I coach all year round. It is fall. People like to call it the quote unquote winter arc. Mm-hmm. And in my opinion, winter is the best time to get in shape. You're not doing anything. It's not summertime. You're not going on vacation. So the excuses are very limited. You have Thanksgiving and Christmas, which is 2 days out of the entire year. You can say, I'm not going to lift on those days, which is fine. But other than that, you're staying inside and you're working because it's cold. Mm-hmm. So there's really no excuses for not working out and getting in shape. So if that interests you, applications down below. We would love to work with you guys. And also, I want to welcome the New Life Discord as well. We're going to change that down below. I made a new Discord. It's called New Life. And those of y'all coming over from my Twitch channel, my YouTube channel, welcome to the podcast. Thank y'all for listening and watching. And if y'all want to be a part of a community, the For the Good podcast ministry community people, we're going to be combining that with the New Life Discord. It was with the Better Than Before Discord. I'm disbanding that Discord, and it's going to be a completely new thing. So if y'all want to be a part of a community, you know, be a part of something that God's growing, meet other people, whatnot, it's free. It's down below. Okay. Yeah, thank y'all for listening to all the plugs. Okay. I sound like a freaking ad.
No.
But I just want to let everyone know, because a lot of people do ask questions. Hey, man, where's the community? Mm-hmm. Hey, where can I donate? And stuff like that. And it's like, I don't talk about it enough because I don't want to like force y'all into it. Mm-hmm. But that's all the ads. So all the ads are done.
Yeah.
I think, unless you have anything.
No, I don't have anything.
Waterloo is not sponsored.
No.
It is 11 a.m., so yeah. Michelle and I usually don't drink sparkling water at 11 a.m.
Yeah.
Usually I crack open my beverage at around 1 to 2 p.m., usually when I start my stream.
Yeah.
Somewhere around that time. But anytime in the a.m., I don't know, I don't like drinking sparkling water.
So. We have some coffee, so.
Coffee sponsored by Ninja Espresso.
Yeah.
Is the sponsor of today's video. Get yours at... No, I'm kidding. Completely kidding.
No.
Yeah, get yours at Walmart.
Actually, it was a wedding gift.
Yeah, it was a wedding gift. Yeah, use code FTG for 20% off at your Ninja Espresso maker. Okay,
hey, let's get into that. Sounds really good. FTG.
Mm-hmm.
That, I like that. Yeah. I really like that. It sounds really good. Yeah.
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 No, actually, to tell y'all the truth, we actually tell companies no. Like, they'll want to sponsor our podcast and whatnot, and it's like some cream or hand lotion or Bible apps have reached out to us as well. And
not the Bible app.
Just like other Bible apps. Yeah. And I've done research about it, and y'all be careful with them Bible apps, man. A lot of them use AI generation, and they just pull from whatever resource on the internet. So be careful out there, man.
Yeah.
There was one that reached out to me. I forget the name of it, but they were like, it's $10. We'll pay you $10 to make an ad. And I'm like, okay, yeah, I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
Like, that's a waste of my time. But I looked into the app, and it like wasn't legit.
Mm.
Like, it wasn't actually like scholars answered questions. It's not like like gotquestions.org is a great resource.
Oh, yeah.
Enduring Word, that's a great resource because it's actual people who have done the research.
Yeah.
This app, I did some research on it, and literally whenever you ask a question, AI just picks from Google what the top article was.
Oh.
Who's to say that's real?
Yeah.
And who's to say it's wrong?
Yeah, I don't like
you
that.
You know? So, definitely strayed me away. So, y'all be careful with the apps out there, man.
Yeah.
I'll be honest. The best apps are usually the ones that don't have a bunch of ads pumping into it. I've never seen an ad for Enduring Word.
No.
And it is the
best.
They
do everything through donation.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the best apps out there.
Yeah.
If y'all looking for a commentary or something like that, that's a great resource.
Yeah.
Okay, honey. Let's do this thing. We don't really know what we're going to talk about today.
Yeah, we do.
Well, we do and we don't.
We don't know where the conversation's
going to
lead.
Yeah, we don't know where the conversation's going to go.
Yeah.
So
we'll just see what happens.
We hope this reaches the person who is shaky with their faith.
Yeah.
So we wanted to talk about today, why should you believe in Jesus? What's the point? That's what we wanted to talk about today. What is the point of believing in Jesus? Why should you follow him? And... one thing that I kind of want to stray away from, honey, in today's topic is hell insurance. I follow Jesus because I don't want to go to hell.
Yeah.
You know?
It's a scare tactic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I want to avoid that. I like asking people this question. I like to ask if Jesus never offered eternal life and he never offered heaven, would you still follow him?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm pretty surprised at what some people have to say. Some people say, no, I wouldn't follow him because the reason I do follow him is because I don't want to be sent into hell. And it's like, okay, well, that's a good reason to follow him, but you don't want to be scared into following Jesus.
Right.
And
I think a lot of people, unfortunately, grew up in that where their parents like scared them into it.
Mm-hmm.
I remember you told me a story about you hanging out with one of your friends and growing up, and he told you about hell.
Yeah, his name was Tommy.
Mm-hmm.
And I was 6 or 7 years old, and we used to play these things called imagination games.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a big Halo fan. So what he would do is he would take myself and my buddy Roan, and him and I would be like the two main characters, and Tommy would just make us go through the whole Halo campaign.
Hmm.
Like, and he would be, you know, the imaginary monster. He would tell us what to do. It was really cool.
Mm-hmm.
That was a big part of my childhood. I did it for, you know, I was probably in kindergarten. I would do it through, I don't know, second or third grade. I don't know. I was a loser. So I had a big imagination as a kid. That's why.
That's not a loser thing. That's a lost art thing.
Yeah.
That well, unfortunately a lot of kids don't have now.
I had a very big imagination as a kid.
No, that's good.
And that's why I believe I'm an entrepreneur, because I'm not like a set guy. Like I run to Michelle 2 or 3 times a day about ideas I have. And it's like stuff that they wouldn't teach you in
school. Usually comes from the shower.
Yeah, usually. And so we would do that with Tommy. And one day he talked to me about Jesus. Mm-hmm. And it scared the heck out of me. Mm. Because he was like, yeah, man, like Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And he's going to come back one day. Mm. And this earth isn't going to be here anymore. And that freaked me out.
Yeah.
Like as a kid, I was like, I don't want to die. Mm-hmm. I don't want Jesus to come back, because I was young. He was 2 or 3 grades above me. So he was playing imagination games in like 6th grade. So he really had a big imagination.
Yeah.
Him doing that. He was a lot older than us. But he was a really good kid. But anyways, when he told me that, I ran home to my mom and I started crying. I was like, I don't want Jesus to come back. And like I don't want this earth to go away. I really enjoy my life, stuff like that. I wasn't allowed to hang out with Tommy anymore. Mm. And I look at it now, because I do remember the conversation a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy, because I talk to you a lot about impact events. Mm-hmm. You can remember when someone says something, and I remember when Tommy told me that. It was in Roan's driveway. It was an all black driveway, and he told me that. And I remember sprinting straight home and telling my mom. But now I look back on that conversation, I was like, dude, he was trying to save me.
Yeah.
He wasn't trying to scare me. He was trying to save me. It may have not been in the right way. I don't think I would ever tell a 7-year-old, hey, repent, or you're this earth's going to be gone. I don't know if, you know, I don't think
maybe
I would.
Maybe not in that way.
Yeah, maybe not in that way. But I forget how the conversations like was led to that.
Yeah.
But he said it in a, I remember him saying it, he said it in a very loving way. Mm-hmm. I just took it as, I don't want the fiery pits,
right.
You know?
Yeah.
So, why I'm saying this is, I'm saying this because I don't want people to follow Jesus because they want to have heaven insurance. Mm-hmm. Say, I follow Jesus, I'm going to heaven. Don't have to worry about that place. And then go out and live your life and do whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're going to avoid on this episode. Mm-hmm. Although that's a big part of it. Go ahead, honey.
Well, I could make a little point of what we talked about last night in the car mm-hmm. on the way home from Bible study. Because we were talking in the women's Bible study about like basically lukewarmness in a sense. And she was talking about how you can't be a resident of heaven and also of earth.
Yeah.
And I feel like a lot of people that are scared into it live that way.
Yeah.
Where they like share residency in the world and with an eternal mindset as well. And they don't mix well at all.
But no, they don't. Yeah. I want to say this too real quick, because when you get scared into it, you say, well, that's what the Bible says. I just have to believe to get into heaven.
Mm-hmm.
So they take one little part out of the Bible mm-hmm. and then completely omit everything that is said mm-hmm. in John 14
mm-hmm.
about obey my commandments. You know, how is it said? Jesus says, you will know, or people will know that you are my disciples by the way you talk to people. Or
that you love each other.
Yeah, that's what it is. I forget how it's said specifically. But you can take one bit of scripture and make it out to whatever you want. So are you going to heaven because you believe in Jesus? Yeah, that's what scripture says. But also what scripture says is he wants us to live out the Great Commission, which mm-hmm. is Matthew 28:19. And a lot of people who are scared into heaven usually don't live out the Great Commission because they aren't taught the Great Commission.
Mm-hmm.
And when I'm scared of something, all I want to do is run away from it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to go towards it.
Yeah.
So if you're scared of going to hell, or someone scares you because you don't want to go to hell, so you'll go to heaven. You know, I would be freaked out about reading the Bible and reading about that.
Mm-hmm.
But the Bible doesn't actually teach that at all.
Yeah.
So that's where I want to pick up.
Okay. So I feel like a lot of people may have this mindset, which is why we wanted to make this episode. Maybe not so many, but at least like a decent amount of people don't give their lives to Jesus and accept him because they think that what they're doing in their life is how it's supposed to be. And like they can just be in control and everything's fine and they don't need him, essentially. And they're missing that point that we all got to as believers where we were like, we can't do this life by ourselves. Like we've tried and it didn't work and I need a savior. If you guys have been following and listening to the podcast for a while, you've probably heard part of my story, but I grew up saying that I was a Christian, that I was a believer, super involved in church, went on mission trips, all the things. And I never fully surrendered my life to Jesus. I was still living it according to my will and not his. And I was so tired and mentally drained. Mm-hmm. Like as someone who was saying that they were a believer, I was taking anxiety pills. I was trying to numb myself. Like I was, and it was all because I was trying to do life by myself, like on my own, not having someone lead me, or like tell me what to do and what not to do and why. I feel like that's the biggest thing is people will try to look at Christianity and say, oh, it's just a book of rules. And we talked about this in church on Sunday, but it's not. Like it's, yes, those are in there, but you want to follow them when you're fully devoted to the Lord because you know the why behind why he wants us to do things and why he doesn't want us to do certain things. So going my entire life trying to do everything like on my own for myself led me to a darker place than I was like way prior, like mm-hmm. years prior when I was like growing up and I like when my life was quote unquote good. And like I would say junior high and like freshman year, I was like thriving. And it was because I was involved with my youth group. I, again, didn't fully give my life to Jesus, but I was like a little bit more involved in like following the word. Was I doing it by myself, self-willed? Yes. Mm-hmm. But like, at least during that time, I got like a little bit of a taste of what it was like to have that freedom. And getting into a really unhealthy relationship in high school just led me down a really, really dark path. And like totally away from the Lord. And I was trying to do everything on my own for myself. And it wasn't until 3 years ago, literally this month, when this episode comes out, it'll probably be a couple days from now, that I gave my life to Jesus. And these past 3 years, I have tasted more freedom than I have when I was trying to numb myself throughout high school. Like I was doing everything in my own power to get rid of the feelings that I was feeling. And it wasn't until like I fully gave my life to Jesus until I experienced that freedom. So you might be someone in a place where you're like, you know what? I don't think there's anything wrong in my life. Like I think I'm good. I don't think I need him. And when you actually like take a look and a deep dive into how you are living your life and where you are being guided, like there is no freedom there, I can guarantee you. Mm-hmm. Like you are still bound in chains to things of this world, and it may not be visible to you because you might be the person that like chose a better path than people around you. So according to what how they're living, your life might look really good.
Mm-hmm.
But until you actually taste that like full freedom, then it's even more, you're even more aware of how much you need a savior.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. The question that's very popular is, I'm happy, therefore I don't need a savior.
Yeah.
That's the big question we're trying to answer here. And you can say that all you want until you're blue in the face. Uh-huh. But your fruit and how you act is actually what's going to show if you're happy or not.
Oh, 1,000%. And I would honestly like snap back with a question and say, where is your happiness coming from?
Yeah.
Because happiness is an emotion.
Mm-hmm.
Joy is like a a state of mind.
Yeah.
Literally.
Yeah.
And I remember I was mentoring girls in Ohio before I moved here. They were all in high school. And they told me that one of their previous mentors told them that they weren't allowed to use the word happy and they had to use the word joy.
Yeah.
Because happiness is fleeing.
Yeah.
And she wanted them to have full joy in the Lord and not base their happiness, that emotion, on where they were at in life.
Yeah.
So you could ask them, right, where's your happiness coming from? Is it because you have a bunch of friends? Is it because you have a really nice house?
Yeah.
Is it because you have a really nice job? Like, where's the happiness coming from?
Quick interruption before we get back to the show. Guys, we just want to let you know that our coaching services are live. So if you've been struggling with your fitness journey and you are looking to get in shape or maybe just struggle in that area, we are there to help you.
We offer personalized workout plans through a private app, constant communication with us, and also a personalized nutrition plan with recipes. There are over 1,000 to choose from on there. So if you have been struggling and want our help, please reach out to us or visit the website, which is betterthanbeforebrand.com, to see some testimonials and also fill out an application so that we can reach out to you and schedule a call.
Thank you, guys, and let's get back to the show. Yeah. And 100% of the time, it's because I have a wife, because I have a kids, because mm-hmm. I have a nice job, whatever mm-hmm. it may be. Here's the easiest way to tackle that. What happens if you lose it?
Mm-hmm.
Because that's why you're happy. So yeah. I guess if they take it away, you're going to be unhappy.
Yeah.
That sounds pretty hopeless.
Yep.
That sounds horrible.
Yeah.
But, you know, Jesus is eternal.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be the same tomorrow, he was the same today, and he was the same yesterday.
Yeah.
He's the same every single day. So why would you not want to put your hope in something like that mm-hmm. compared to something that is completely temporary,
mm-hmm.
you know? Because I'll be honest with you guys, my happiness and joy used to come from my business.
Yeah.
When I would have lower months in business, I would be a completely different person.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I would have better months in business, I'll be a completely different. I would be so much happier.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not consistent. Don't you want something consistent?
Yeah.
And that's what Jesus is. He's consistent. And also, to go back on the rules point, because you'll hear this a lot too. Well, I don't want to follow Jesus because it's a bunch of rules and regulations. You can look at it like that, but like Michelle was saying, is she was actually saying that the Bible teaches these things out of love.
Mm-hmm.
Paul, Jesus, whoever may be talking will warn us about these things.
Yeah.
And a big one is, well, I don't want to follow Jesus because I like having sex with my partner before marriage.
I was about to bring that one up too.
You know, oh, I don't want to follow Jesus because I want to change my gender
mm-hmm.
or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And God's not saying that if you do those things, you're going to hell.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just go ahead and put that out there.
Mm-hmm. It's not like a criteria.
Yeah,
like you have to follow this.
Yeah, it's not a criteria. Yeah. Because once you do start following it, you're going to want to change. I just want to bring up a couple statistics
mm-hmm.
real quick. Because people will be like, well, I don't want to do that because of blah, blah, blah. And it's like, we can prove from science and statistics that it's actually not good for you. If you have sex with three or more partners before you get married, your likelihood of divorce with the person you do marry is 35%.
Hmm.
And it only goes more and more and more the more partners you sleep with before marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Guess how much it is, honey, if you guess how much, regardless if they believe in Jesus or not, guess what the percentage is if you only sleep with that one person that you had, that you married.
The percentage of having a divorce?
Yeah.
Zero.
It's five.
Okay.
But basically, yeah. And, you know, that's great.
And that 5% is probably one of the people in the relationship struggling
yeah.
with something.
Yeah. And here's something I want to say. Christianity is not in this study.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
This is just everyone. This
is just everyone. This yeah. is just a pool. Now, hear this. If you have God in your relationship and you pray together every night, then it goes down to, what is it, one out of every 152 couples or something?
Yeah, it's something insane.
Which is
I think
less,
it's actually more than 100.
No, it's 1,052.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's 1,052.
Yeah.
Which is, let's do quick math here, less than 1% of getting a divorce.
Yeah.
So how can you say that Jesus in a relationship, Jesus as the center of your relationship is bad? Because what quantifies as a whole a good relationship? Mm-hmm. Usually, the people that look at relationships, it equates to, is it healthy? Are they mm-hmm. getting a divorce? Are they in a scandal? Are they cheating on one another? That's usually what equates a healthy relationship. Are they getting along? Whatever it may be. And from what I have seen statistically, mm-hmm. why would you not want to have something consistent in the middle of your marriage, which is Jesus, mm-hmm. to help you fight those things?
Yeah.
Here's another example. Transgenderism, people changing their gender, doing all this stuff. I don't want to follow Jesus because I think I'm a woman. I think I'm a man. Guys, when people make that switch of from becoming a man to a woman or becoming a woman to a man, whatever it may be, dude, the depression and suicide rate inflates by like 42% mm-hmm. once they make that change, because you're changing something that God created. Now, I'm not saying that gender dysphoria isn't real. That's not what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. I'm saying the right way to treat it is not with another physical change.
No.
The right way to treat it is something consistent, which is Jesus.
Yeah.
Okay? We were talking about this in church too, is we're not supposed to point... it was a sermon I heard. We're not supposed to point people to the rules and regulations in the Bible. We're supposed mm-hmm. to point people to Jesus. Mm-hmm. That's the whole point.
Yeah, he's going to do the change.
Yeah, he's going to do the change. Yeah. It's like you can't change someone. You can just help them get that help right. they need.
Right. It's, you know? It's the same. Like, I really liked the analogy that the guy used in church on Sunday when he said you don't wash your hands before you take a shower. That's just like an analogy, but it's a good point. Like, I wouldn't help you shower, mm-hmm. you know, like if I was trying to help you out and you were really dirty, I'm going to come to you and I'm going to say, hey, have you thought about a shower? Mm-hmm. And I'm going to lead you to the shower and I'm going to let you take a shower and the water clean you, mm-hmm. you know, like we're supposed to lead people to Jesus and allow him to do that cleansing and that changing in their heart. Like, mm-hmm. that's how the process works. It's not our job.
Wow, that's very interesting. I was looking at articles and I was looking at divorce rate from like gay couples and heterosexual couples. Mm-hmm. I don't believe that to be right.
What does it say?
They say that the divorce rate for same-sex couples is actually lower.
Oh, I believe it. You want to know why?
Why?
Because you're putting two people with the same mentality in a relationship.
Oh, yeah, that could
so be a big possibility. Had a friend that dabbled in having a girlfriend for a while, mm-hmm. and she was a female, and their relationship was less toxic with her because they were both females, mm. and they understood how the other one operated. Mm. Now, did they fight? All the time.
Yeah. Well, actually, I looked at gay men, and then I looked at lesbian couples. Lesbian couples, the divorce rate is actually 72%. With gay men, it's 28%.
Yeah. No, and yeah.
The whole like 50% of couples or 50% of, you know, heterosexual couples in divorce, I'll be honest, that's pretty skewed.
Oh, 1,000%.
Yeah.
No, but here's the thing. While we're on this topic.
Yeah.
I actually watched a video mm-hmm. Of a girl who is a Christian. A believer, and she has a social media presence, and everyone has been teasing her because her and her boyfriend have been dating for a really long time, and she keeps teasing that they're going to get married and engaged, and it hasn't happened yet. And so she decided to sit down and address the comments and say, this is why we're not getting married yet. And her reasoning, now she claims to be a believer of Jesus, which this is what got me. Her reasoning was because the divorce rate is through the roof nowadays. Hmm. And she said that, I think it's okay for you to take time to really get to know the person and make sure that they're who you want to be with before you get married.
Hmm. Yeah, it's interesting.
And in my mind, I'm like, wait a second. So you're going to let the world tell you that the divorce rate's through the roof to scare you into marriage. Well, number one, that's the enemy. Because mm-hmm. he hates marriage, especially when it honors the Lord. Okay. Mm-hmm. Number two, you're going to tell me that you need to take the time to get to know your boyfriend. I'm sitting in a room with my husband that I married, what, 6 months ago? We met, got engaged, married, and pregnant all in under a year. And I'm still learning about him. Mm-hmm. And he's still learning about me. We just had a conversation last night about me going through stuff right now with like the pregnancy and my emotions and just like me not straying away from Jesus, but like kind of putting that relationship on the back burner because my mind is so full of anxiety about giving birth and raising a baby. And that was new to both of us. Like, you're not going to fully understand someone before you get married. Mm-hmm. Like, you're just not going to. Mm-hmm. But as believers, we get married so quick, like people say, because we don't care about that stuff. We're trusting the Lord.
Yeah.
Like, that's the whole point of it. We just set up an engagement for a couple that was dating for, what, four months?
He's probably listening, yeah.
Yeah, they're probably listening together.
They're probably listening together, yeah.
Shout out.
Yeah.
We love you guys. But that's just another good example. It's like,
yeah,
who cares what the world is saying? Like,
and sorry. they got, you know, disagreements from the world just like Michelle and I did, yeah. But it just doesn't matter, man.
When you have really so much peace about a decision coming from the Lord, like there's nothing that's going to stop you. Mm-hmm. Literally nothing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah.
So, back on topic. About, you know, why should you follow Jesus? I think another great way to understand if you need Jesus or not is ask yourself, are you perfect? Because mm-hmm. again, whether you believe in Jesus or not, Jesus is consistent. He is historically the most perfect person to walk on this earth. They killed him because he claimed to be God. And he also died without having any penalty against him. Like mm-hmm. he didn't kill someone. He didn't do anything wrong.
Yeah.
You know, so he's a great example. And, you know, when someone says, well, I'm not in need of a savior because I'm good. Well, in, you know, what they're actually saying is I don't need you to save me because I'm perfect. And I actually like to bring up this example. Let's say, you know, you need stitches. Do you go to someone who helps you with stitches, or do you just say, I'm good? Mm-hmm. And that's when the people that, you know, say, I don't need a savior usually get stuck because mm-hmm. they're like, well, yeah. And it's like, okay, well, if you're going through anxiety, depression, maybe you're lacking, you know, fulfillment. Maybe you just don't know where you're going in life. Then why don't you go to the source that created you mm-hmm. instead of running to things that humans created? Because if you're lacking stuff in that area, anxiety, depression, fulfillment, whatever it may be, those things come to you because the world tells you you need to be anxious, you need to be depressed, you're lacking fulfillment because you're not ahead of these other 25-year-olds. That doesn't come from God.
No.
And
it's comparison.
Yeah. And what I would like to say is if you don't need a savior and you believe that your life is good, then we should be worshiping you instead of Jesus. There's a reason why we're not worshiping you. Mm-hmm. And it's because you're not perfect and you're not good.
Right.
And I just want to say to anyone who is watching, if you know you don't think that God's going to accept you because you know you're not perfect, that's complete anti what the gospel is. Mm-hmm. The gospel is actually giving you a free gift. You don't have to do anything to earn it. Mm-hmm. All you have to do is receive it.
Yeah.
You know, you can reject the gift. When Michelle and I got wedding presents, we could reject them and say, we don't want that. We don't need it. Mm-hmm. But we wanted the gifts.
Yeah.
We needed the gifts. We needed the KitchenAid stuff to make the mashed potatoes.
Yeah.
We needed the knife set so we didn't use forks to split our avocados anymore. Uh-huh. Yeah. You know, we needed that stuff.
Yeah.
In the same way, people need a savior. They need Jesus because they're not good. Mm-hmm. They're not perfect.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
He's the one who's going to make us perfect. So yeah. That's the gift that he's giving you.
Right.
You don't have to earn it.
Yeah.
It's a reception thing. You receive it.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Giving your life to Jesus is the most selfless thing you could do. And the whole downfall of humanity came from pride, and it was self-righteousness, like self-willed, right? Like Adam and Eve were like, we can do this, mm-hmm. like on our own. Like, we don't need you. I'm going to make a decision for me. And that's the mindset you have to get away from in order to fully accept Jesus. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people are like curious. And I know this is part of your story too, where you're like, you're going to church, you're learning, you're engaging. And all of a sudden you get to the point where it's like, wait a second, I have to drop my pride mm-hmm. and my ego.
Yeah.
Like, that's the fence that's between you and Jesus
mm-hmm.
and you actually having a relationship with him.
Yeah. That's the barrier and the blinder.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it may not be obvious, like looking at your life and where you're at, but once you like actually deep dive into your mentality as a non-believer, where you're like, I don't need the Lord, I'm fine. Once you like actually take a look at like, okay, wait a second, like this is actually how I'm feeling mm-hmm. is that I'm going to do everything by myself and I don't need anyone and my way's right, my way or the highway. And once you come to that realization, that's when you just surrender it
mm-hmm.
and you just say like, I'm sorry, Lord, I can't do this without you. And back on like the happiness thing, I think a lot of people will numb what's really going on in their mind with outward things.
Yeah.
So like if your first response to something is like, okay, let me give you an example. If someone came up to Asher and said, why did you marry your wife? His response is not going to be, she makes me happy.
Nah, no, it's not.
It's not. Because that's not why you married me. Yeah, and if that's why you married me, you're going to be really disappointed and we probably wouldn't be together anymore.
Probably.
Because there's days where I don't make you happy.
Yeah.
I try, but.
It's very true. Very true.
I'm not perfect,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, I'm not either.
And if you would ask someone like, what makes you happy? Well, you know, all the money in my bank account. Okay, great. So there's a reason why the Bible says that the love for money is the root of all evil. Let's look at Hollywood. I mean, look at all these people that are committing suicide and taking pills and becoming alcoholics. They have everything in the world that you could ever imagine.
Yeah.
They have it all. And
they'll take pills, commit suicide.
Yeah.
Talk to children.
Yeah. Yeah. They
look what happened to Diddy.
Yeah. Yeah.
That is a complete scandal. Wow. Yeah. Okay. Hopefully we don't get censored.
Yeah.
No, no, I'm kidding. There's a lot of people talk about it. But
seriously, it's mess. once you take a look at all of that stuff, and this is off topic, but like I just have to make this point because I was thinking about this on Sunday. We go to like a pretty large church. Okay. Like our campus is really big and he has multiple campuses that he broadcasts his live sermon to. Mm-hmm. Okay. I have a really bad taste in my mouth with churches that operate that way because of something I experienced at home.
Yeah.
And so I was a little hesitant, but after we started going, like our pastor literally stands in the lobby and tells Asher and I that he loves us every time we say hi.
Yeah.
We say hi. If he's in the middle of a conversation, he goes, hey, love you guys.
Yeah.
Like he takes 5 seconds to acknowledge that we said hi. And tell us that he loves us and that he cares about us.
He's been on our podcast before, guys. Yeah. Go check him out.
Yeah, he's awesome. But also something else that I was observing on Sunday was this man wears nothing flashy.
Oh my goodness.
And he literally does not care.
Yeah.
What he has tangibly.
Mm-mm.
Like he doesn't. The only thing that he talks about having is motorcycles.
His motorcycle. He has one.
And it's a hobby.
Yeah,
but like this man wears flannels and Wrangler jeans or something, Levi's, I don't know, and motorcycle boots. Like, he doesn't care, you know? Like, sometimes you'll go to churches and you're like, it'll kind of give you a bad taste in your mouth if, like, I'm sorry, but if a pastor walked up on stage with, like, a Louis Vuitton jacket, I'd be like, that kind of rubs me the wrong way because there's no purpose in you having something that nice. Like, I'm not saying that God doesn't want us to have nice things. That's not what I'm saying. But, like, you could just tell from, like, the way that people present themselves where their hearts are at. And, like, our pastor's heart is with Jesus, you know? And that's where his happiness lies. It's not in how big his church is or how nice of things he has. Like, he just finds pure joy in spreading the word of the gospel and helping people come to him. Like, that's where his joy is at. And yeah, that was off topic, but I just wanted to bring that up.
I'm good, honey.
Okay.
That was a great episode.
Yeah.
We're going to make these episodes a lot shorter, guys.
Yeah.
Like, max, like, 40 minutes, unless we go crazy about something, but
we want it to be as long as a cardio session.
Yes.
We not don't want take it up to your be, whole day or a short commute.
Yeah. We don't want it to be an hour and a half anymore. So, we hope y'all enjoyed. Buddy is going crazy. We hope y'all enjoyed. Thank y'all for tuning in, listening, and we will catch y'all again next weekend. Nope, not next weekend. Next week on the tripod. Peace.